David, just pretend you're in like a super dangerous walk and turn sobriety test.
Hey, I don't like this.
Well, okay, well then just turn around.
Why would he agree to do this when he's afraid of heights?
He's not afraid of heights, he's afraid of moths and butterflies.
And business women in sneakers.
Okay, I can hear you.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we watch an episode of the series and then we talk about it, and we're going through the whole series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name's Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good.
You're not afraid that birds may virtually attack you?
What, enter digitally? Our closet?
Who knows what's going on in that attic up there? There could be a family of crows up there.
Maybe.
Not sure.
Yeah.
So before we get into this, something that we do talk about from time to time, and something that I normally mention at the end of the episode, is if you guys could be so kind as to leave us a rating and review wherever you get the show, that would be great. We are, I think, over 70 reviews.
Oh.
But I know there are far more than 70 people that listen to this.
Well, maybe people just download it and then they're like, I don't really want
right.
to listen to this.
Right, I guess leaving no review is better than a negative review.
Well, yeah, my favorite is still What an Obnoxious Duo.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
That one tugs at my heart every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that person still listens. And they're like, I want to change it to something nicer. But
I'm pretty sure
they
somebody
really
calls
enjoy...
you an obnoxious duo, they're not still listening.
Oh. All right.
I don't know. I could be wrong. If you're still listening, let us know. If we've turned you around.
No, sure. No. And we've gotten a few new ones. I did not copy and paste the nice words into my notes this week. So I will do that at some point because we just like to read how great we are.
You do.
On our own podcast.
I appreciate the terrible ones, apparently.
All right. So do I. Okay. But we are here. Oh, my God. Carla. Season 5.
Happy season 5.
Happy season 5. It's only taken us since 2019 to get here.
Well, there's like a pandemic and all. I mean, you know.
I mean, I don't know.
You would think that would make it easier, because for a while we were kind of confined to our homes. We were good then.
We could have done like 2 of these a day.
Yeah, we could have.
Like other podcasts.
One of these every 2 weeks is kind of hard for us.
No, we've talked about that, how it's difficult. I have to write it on multiple calendars just to watch the show.
Right. As it is right now, there's a time crunch because our child needs to get somewhere in about an hour.
Yep.
So
our whole plan of being like, oh, we'll just record it on Saturday morning when we have nothing to do.
Right.
Tends to backfire from time to time.
Yeah.
Oh, these... serious problems of ours. But we are into, as I said, season 5, episode 1, The Crowening.
Yes.
The original air date is January 8th of 2019. This episode
is... 2019, when we started it all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But not in January.
The show still hasn't passed.
I feel
us.
Like we started in, like, December of
December.
2019. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It always feels good when I look back at 2019 in our numbers. Like, I can go through our numbers, and I'm like, oh, my God, in 2019, we only had, like, 100 downloads. And then I realize, oh, that was 1 month.
Just in December.
The first episode, about 3 people downloaded it. So, okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, this episode is directed by Lori Lind, a brand new director.
I was going to say, brand new. Brand new name.
And he... directed this is the first of 6 episodes of the show that he directed all this season. Just in doing the you know, least amount of research possible, as I usually do, he's best known for directing a 2007 film called Breakfast with Scott. And I don't think it got great reviews. I think it got okay reviews, but it was a big deal because apparently it was the first ever gay-themed film to receive approval from a major sports league. The movie has to do with a ex-hockey player who is gay and is now like an announcer or something like that.
Okay.
And the the Toronto Maple Leafs allowed them to use their jerseys and their logos and stuff like that, which had never been done before. The fact that it says it's the first makes me think maybe it was done again, but apparently it was groundbreaking for that. But let's talk about other things that he has directed. Degrassi, The Next Generation, Murdoch Mysteries, My Babysitter's a Vampire, and The Good Witch.
All of our faves.
Yes, all of things. And he also directed 60 episodes of a children's program called The Adventures of Napkin Man. And I want to know what that is. 60 episodes is a lot, but I looked at them and they're like 10-minute things. Okay. But that was just interesting.
Napkin Man just sounds cute. I can just envision it.
It really does.
It's a shame our kids never watched that.
Right, yes. Yeah. Well, okay.
Moving on.
This episode was directed, or I'm sorry, we talked about the director.
What is happening?
I don't know. I feel the time crunch.
Oh my gosh, it's so much stress.
And we wasted so much time already.
Yeah, if you hear a knock on our closet door, just assume it's our child yelling at
us. It's not our dog this time.
Yeah.
This episode was written by Dan Levy.
Of course.
As first and last
first
episodes
and last.
Of every season usually are. Okay. Let's get into it because...
The iPhone's ringing.
Let's say that Johnny's in a tizzy?
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. Like, he's having a rough go of it in this episode.
He really is.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it's revealed, it's not that I have a huge problem with it, but I find it fascinating and hard to believe.
Oh, I think it's very sweet.
No, I think it's sweet. No, I understand that, but I'm just talking about... From the standpoint of her schedule as an actor and his schedule as head of a giant company.
No, that's a good point.
How he wouldn't have had to, you know,
travel,
leave the country for an extended period of time while she had to shoot this soap or something like that.
Yeah.
But we'll get into
it. That's a good point.
So he's very excited. Too excited, I guess, to answer the phone.
Right, because he wants everybody to be nearby.
Right.
Because Moira is calling. So David runs in his very fashionable potato sack ensemble.
Wait, what?
You didn't notice?
No.
He had like this big sweatshirt kind of looking thing, but it was like a big sack almost.
Was it like a burlap sweatshirt?
It was not burlap.
Okay.
No, it just like reminded me. It just was like big, almost dress-like, very voluminous.
My. Okay.
It was fun. I sort of loved it, but... it just looked super comfy. It looked like something you would put on and just to lounge in.
And I mean, we've mentioned how our eyes aren't really on screen when we're watching these. We're taking notes. But also, if my eyes are on screen during this scene, I'm looking at the wigs.
Oh, totally.
So
even before they were by Moira's wig wall. I love his big, huge, like voluminous dress / sweatshirt / loungewear / although I'm sure it's not loungewear because it's probably like designer name. I mean, I didn't like go so far as to like look up the designer and everything for it, but I'm sure it's, something like super fashionable.
Oh,
but yeah, it was just fun.
Designers.
I liked Alexis's outfit as well. Her dress was super fun,
you're all
too.
All over the outfits already.
Sometimes I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes things jump out at me, but I liked his I just thought like potato sack. Like,
okay.
It was kind of like a gray color, like, you know, his normal color vibe and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
I like
anyway.
How Stevie's there too, as though she's one of the children.
She kind of is now.
I think she kind of is. You're right. So they, and I love how they. This starts in the kids' room, but he has to move them into his room to take this phone call. Now, maybe they were on their way. Maybe this is what they've been doing every day, trying on wigs,
or maybe they're just meeting up
gone.
And heading for breakfast.
Maybe, yes.
You know.
So that's what's happening in that. I do like how Moira, I guess the connection's bad. You're talking halfway around the world, and she can't make out voices, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah. But yeah, no, she's in Bosnia. She's on the set of The Crows Have Eyes 3.
Yep. I guess it's colon, the crowning?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. Or is this episode just called The Crowning?
I don't know.
We did not do our research.
No. I mean, the episode is. I think it's like the crowning. Yeah. Right. Like, I believe that connects to The Crows Have Eyes 3.
I was going to say, I should look at one of the 5,000 fan art posters that have been made for this movie.
Yeah.
Just to see the correct title.
Yeah. But I like, she asked if Alexis has strep again. because like you were saying, she's having trouble making out voices and everybody sounds off.
Yeah, she thinks David is Alexis and she thinks that Stevie is David, which is really great.
And she's asking about David, like, how are things going at the store? Do you do you finally have customers?
Right.
And they're like just kind of start trying on all of her wigs and everything, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Moira's all over the place. You know, she talks about there's a sweetness in the air, and it's not just the baklava factory that they're next to.
Yeah, it's really great. She's getting her makeup done. Everything at this point, other than all of the mentions of Bosnia, no offense to Bosnia, everything kind of seems on the up and up. I mean, she is having her makeup done. She does talk about how, she has to go. The director's here.
Mm-hmm.
So then they are left.
She very abruptly just hangs up. Like, doesn't say, you know, goodbye or I love you or anything at all to Johnny. She just hangs up, to which Alexis says, ooh, burn, Dad.
Right. Well, I like how he plays it off as though she did not just hang up. Mm-hmm. So he continues saying goodbye. And it's Stevie that says she already hung up.
Right. Yeah.
It's really fun. Yeah. And again, and we've all seen the still of them in all of those wigs.
Yeah. Because David says, you must feel totally ridiculous. And of course, he's standing there in like this wig that he looks absolutely ridiculous. So.
Really fun.
Yeah. It's a super fun, fun opening.
So intro, title, whatever we want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I keep saying roll credits, but that's the end.
Uh-huh.
So now we're in the kids' room, and there's a whole thing to set up what's going to happen in this episode with David and Alexis, which is kind of rare. I mean, I know early on, listen, they're going to truck parties together, stuff like that. But now that they kind of have their own things, they do tend to...
Yeah, Alexis was hanging out at the store a lot at that one point. Like when they were first kind of opening and getting things underway. But
they do tend to have their own storylines. Yeah. But now we have to get them together for this episode.
A little intermixing, yeah.
And so apparently David is taking a quiz in, first of all, as Alexis calls it, M'lady Magazine, which I think is great. I like how he corrects her, how it's called Major Lady Magazine, which sounds way worse. Like, it's a worse type. Major Lady Magazine. That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
I could see. Like, if you think of Ms. Magazine, which I don't think is around anymore. Hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah, I don't think
but
so.
M'lady, even though it's kind of a dumb name, sounds like a legitimate magazine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Unless it's a magazine for women in the military.
I don't think it
Major
is.
Major Lady.
That maybe.
Okay.
I don't think it is. I think you're putting a lot of thought into this.
All right. Anyway,
is it a real magazine?
It's a Cosmo-esque
Is it a real magazine?
There's no way.
Okay. You never know.
Oh, I read a whole article about all of the fake books that they're constantly reading in this, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, which it usually connects to things from the episode, like we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she was reading at the front desk when the little man came in.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to read too much into the single magazine that is highlighted in the entirety of this series. But I love the name.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love, too, that she Alexis is really serious because she makes him come and sit down. And she's like, I have a concern. And he says to her before they even get into the magazine, your natural deodorant isn't working, if that's what you were wondering, which I thought was a super funny little line. But yeah, she kind of starts this whole conversation. Is everything okay with Patrick? And then she pulls out M'lady, Major Lady Magazine.
Right.
And yeah, and then they get into this whole quiz that their relationship needs a generator.
I have a question for you. This is a bigger question about...
Oh, gosh. Magazines?
No.
Oh.
About the purpose of this entire storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Alexis want him and Patrick to go with them? There doesn't seem to be a reason... Like, it's not as though she and Ted are actually having trouble in their relationship.
Well, right.
They need someone to kind of...
Maybe she just wants to show off this relationship that it's going really well.
You think that's what's happening?
I don't know.
I just don't.
Maybe it's just. I mean, let's they're hang both out kind with my of, brother.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But they're both, like, this episode is just the two of them. She's lying to David, and then David's lying to Patrick.
Right.
But in the end, I'm like, why is any of this happening?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
It seems like she and Ted have been having fun doing this on their own.
Right.
And I don't think she's legitimately concerned about David and Patrick's relationship. So I just, I mean, if this is for storyline,
yeah,
okay, fine.
I don't know.
But
maybe.
I just didn't know if there was something that I was missing.
Somebody will probably have a really good point. Some of our listeners, I feel like they always look at things, you know, with a different eye usually than we are, or different insights than we are. So someone may have a really good reason as to why they're,
and
you
I
know,
think maybe that's why
this.
I'm asking the question. Not that I didn't think you couldn't answer it, but if somebody else out there has an idea, please let me know, because I feel like I'm missing something. this is revealed, so there's a test. It's a total Cosmo test, I guess.
Yeah. Because you read Cosmo all the time?
Sure. Why not? Listen, I have been in enough waiting rooms in my life, and there's been a Cosmo sitting there that I've at least perused it and get an idea for what the magazine's all about.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No judgment.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Alexis took the quiz, and their relationship is an electrical storm.
Everything.
She and Ted, who irons his polo shirts,
right,
by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is, this appears to be an electricity-based test or quiz.
Yep.
I do like how it's revealed that Alexis has electrocuted herself twice with the curling iron. It's really fun, and she notices that David has failed the test.
Right. Yes. Ugh. Yeah, they need a generator.
Yes.
Where she and Ted are in an electrical storm, and she said they've started to take Fridays to go on adventure dates.
Yes.
For example, they're going on an Elm Falls Park tour, and she extends the invitation.
Yes.
Because of course David, in his anxiety and, you know, his uncertainty about things,
right,
you know, of course, once he hears that they, you know, she and Ted are an electrical storm, he starts to feel a little bit concerned that his and Patrick relationship is kind of falling into a little bit of a routine.
Let's call it an inventory routine. I think that's fair.
So he's in a total power failure, or not in a total, almost in a total power failure, right? That would have been like the worst possible. So he's like a step away from total power failure.
One wrong answer away from a power failure.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the line where he says that adventure date sounds like something a marriage counselor would suggest as a last resort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah.
So now, let's go back to Bosnia.
But wait, we still have his very famous eat glass line to Alexis, as, you know, because that's when they mention about the total power failure. And he's leaving to head out to the apothecary to start his day, I guess.
Yeah.
And
it's funny when I see the little things where it's like top 10 David lines and blah,
eat
blah,
glasses,
blah. And this is always on there. And I always watch these things kind of like if you're watching an old 80s sitcom and during the, you know, theme music, how they're just showing clips.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, have I seen that yet? Because I did not remember if Eat Glass had already happened at this point.
Oh.
So I do like the fact that it's there. It's very prominent. And his expression just as he walks
out. Eat Glass. It's a great
really
line.
Great.
Yeah. We can't skip over that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now we can go to Bosnia.
Yeah.
Because Moira has to go. The director did not come to Moira.
Right. She has to go to him.
Thought or lied to her family about.
Yeah.
So she has to go talk to this director in his trailer.
Blair,
the director.
I believe she said his name was Blair.
Okay.
I think. I wrote that down.
All right. Well, the actor's name is James Cade. He has been a regular in shows. Actually, he was a regular in a show called Blue Mountain State.
Never heard of it.
Alexis was in it.
Oh.
So there's that tie-in, but I guess he was a regular where she was just on for an episode or two.
All right.
But he's been in Warehouse 13, Lost Girl, The Strain, Murdoch Mysteries, the director, Hemlock Grove, Orphan Black, and Designated Survivor for a few episodes of that. So,
yeah, he looks familiar. I feel like he had a familiar vibe to me, but naming all those things, I haven't seen him in anything. Like, yeah. All the things that you named I are not shows that I've watched. But
he looks like a...
And maybe he reminded me of, like, a Sebastian Rain kind of... Like, he just kind of had that, like, a... Well, not quite the artistic vibe as quite as much.
Right.
But he had a similar look.
He looks like
to
a...
To me.
Like a YouTube star. Because he just looks like a regular person. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not say that Sebastian Rain looks like... Sebastian Rain looks like a model...
Right.
Who, you know... Get some TV work.
Yeah.
This guy just kind of looks like a regular dude.
Yeah, I don't know. He just had a similar, like, vibe to him, I guess, a little bit to me. But yeah. I felt like he seemed familiar, but I don't know.
No,
why.
That's. Listen, if you've been watching a lot of Designated Survivor,
I've never watched that. So, okay, yeah, right. No. Nope. Yeah.
I watched all of Orphan Black, and I'm amazed that all these people are in there because I don't remember a single person on that.
Oh.
Any guest stars that showed up other than Max Headroom was in it for a long time.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it.
All right.
I can't think of his name. The neighbor dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I can't.
Oh, I don't know his name.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Moira introduces herself to the director, and they are on two completely different wavelengths about this.
Oh,
film.
Yeah. She thinks it's like the best thing to... ever happened to her, and he thinks it's a dumpster fire, basically.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he tells her, basically, that his last film was a $50 million
studio project and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
And now this is the next thing he's doing, which is weird, because later when she's like, I did some research on you, I'm like, this is red flags all over the place for this guy's career. Like, you don't normally do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally go from 50 million
right.
to this unless that 50 million was not recouped and not even close to being recouped.
Yeah.
So he's...
I like how he calls her Mara, is it?
No, like, he doesn't get her name right at all.
Yeah.
Right.
She also makes that little... She's like, are you going to... Break me down to build me up again, like Stan Kubrick did to Shelley.
Right.
Yeah, so she, like, is name dropping and stuff, too.
Yeah. No, really, really, really fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they talk about Stanley Kubrick, Shelley Duvall, and Sandra Bullock in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which
later
I think
on,
is great.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah. So you can see he has no faith in this project. This is simply a paycheck for him. He even says it's basically a vacation.
Yeah, and he says, like, his $50 million studio project, he said, this is not that.
Right.
Like, clear as day.
Yes. Makes it very clear to her what they are doing here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's a bit concerned at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back over to the hotel.
The motel, right?
Motel.
Roland Stevie. Right. A Roland Stevie scene.
Yeah. Roland's very upset.
Yes. He wants to submit his letter of resignation that he hasn't written yet. Stevie's like, you can just leave it there in the desk. And he said, well, it's not written yet.
It is really fun how little she can. I don't even think she looks up at Roland and is basically like, I will take that letter of recommendation or
resignation
right now. Yep. But he wants to dictate it because Johnny is doing all of his jobs.
Right. All of his work around the motel. Yep.
I assume Johnny's running errands. Who knows what he's doing?
Oh, yeah, he's just buzzing around everywhere since Moira left, doing as much as he can to keep himself busy.
Exactly. And I like how they go outside and he is now cleaning the gutters.
Yep.
And
up on a ladder.
And now Roland's upset because he's wearing a work shirt. He's even stolen his look.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and Roland's like, I'm the gutter guy.
Right. Yes. I have to say, and this is just
I feel like we haven't gotten, like, good Roland comedy in a little while. Like, obviously, he was in the episode with...
Well, he was in all the
baby
episodes the last...
Yeah. And the shower and everything. But, this is kind of fun seeing him back in his Roland kind of routine.
Because we used to have this back and forth between he and Johnny a lot, which is kind of lost. Or he and Moira on town council. And I feel like... Now that he's working there, it's just a lot of him wandering into the scene, making a joke, and then leaving to change light bulbs or whatever he's doing. So, yeah, I think it is really funny. And they kind of confront him about the gutters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wouldn't you rather wash the windows? He's like, well,
I already did that.
And, it's...
Yep.
This is Johnny's problem for this episode, is that he's just doing too much.
Yeah. Yep.
But now let's go to Rose Apothecary.
Mm-hmm. Patrick's hard at work.
He's
doing inventory with his little, like, little finger guards.
Yeah. That help him to turn the pages.
They help to turn pages. Yeah, you've never seen stuff like
I've
that
I've never
before?
Seen anything
oh, yeah.
like this.
I think people do that a lot. Yeah,
I guess it's
like a
less
rubber.
Gross
yeah.
than licking your fingers, which is something that I... Yikes.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people do that.
Yeah.
I've done it, but never when anybody's watching me.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, so David comes in and is very eager to interrupt
mm-hmm.
Because he just wants to spice up this relationship right at this moment based on his conversation with Alexis.
It is so weird how he's just like sexy. Look at you turning those pages.
To watch
pages.
You do inventory right. and everything else. Yeah.
It's so strange. Yeah. And Patrick knows it's strange. Mm-hmm. So then this is where David basically says, hey, Alexis and Ted are having some serious relationship issues. Mm-hmm. So I guess we now need to go with them.
Yeah, he said, like, they begged us to meet at the park.
Yes.
Yeah, but Patrick was really, he's like, oh, no, what? Like, what's wrong?
Right,
and
he's like, they
and
seem
everything.
So happy.
Yeah, like, they seem so happy. And, yeah, so David kind of makes up this whole thing
right,
to
yes.
kind of get him to go so that they can he can show off how great his and Patrick's relationship
well,
is comparable to
I don't think
Alexis
that's what he's
Ted.
I mean it's not what he's saying. He's not like, hey, let's go brag
no,
about how
no, no,
great
no.
we are.
But that's his
right,
thought process
exactly.
He's like, okay, yes. I'm gonna tell him they're struggling to get him to agree to go because right. he knows Patrick doesn't like to take time off work.
Well, the fact that he's like, let's just take the afternoon off and I guess close down the whole
right.
store.
And Patrick's like, people depend on our store to be open.
They need something. They need, I know they joked about how Alexis was their intern. I think they need an intern or someone to be there. So it's not just the two of them opening and closing the store every day.
Yeah, they don't have like employees or anything.
I don't know that they can afford an employee. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No.
I, much like Moira, am concerned about how well this store's doing.
Oh, okay.
So he does convince him, though, that we're going to go on this forest adventure let's
date.
Call it.
Yeah.
And they need our help.
Yeah.
All right. So now.
An unlikely lunch duo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often are Stevie and I cannot see these two
I don't know,
sitting down.
But it was sort of cute.
Oh, it is very cute. Yeah. But given Stevie's personality and Roland's manners, eating habits,
let's say. Yeah.
I cannot imagine how this goes each and every day. But it is almost like they're just having a private meeting about Johnny.
Oh, totally. Yeah, because Johnny comes in, he orders the lunch special to go.
Right. Yeah,
he's
busy. He's got stuff
to do. Stevie and Roland are lunching together, which of course he notices and everything. And he's like, oh, are you having like a team meeting lunch and everything? And they said, well, you couldn't hear us over the mower. We tried to invite you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's super fun because they kind of start to talk to him about the problem. Mm-hmm. Like,
are you trying to fill in a hole in your life right now with all this work?
Exactly. You're taking on a lot of stuff where I guess he's never really done this much before.
Yeah.
But before they can get anywhere, he is interrupted by a Moira phone call.
Yes.
And Moira kind of dumps all this on him.
Oh,
that she's
a grave error in judgment.
Yes, exactly.
She says. To which he's like, I told you not to drink the tap water.
Right, yes.
Which was super funny.
And she's basically like, listen, this is a mess.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be my...
The director's going
to... comeback vehicle, she refers to it.
Right.
This is what I like it when he says that this is not voice acting for an X-rated Japanese video game. Mm-hmm.
And she said it was for mature audiences.
Right. It was rated MA for mature audiences.
Yeah. You know, but he's kind of saying like, well, you can come back if you want. Like, you don't have to do this. And
maybe more than happy.
You know, and he's like, if you want it, you can, you have to fight for it and everything. And this is when they mentioned Sandra Bullock, Sandy Bullock, the Speed franchise. If she hadn't fought for that, we wouldn't have Cruise Control.
Right.
Which Patrick and David discuss. Sandra, what Sandra Bullock movie were they going to watch, remember?
Yeah.
So this is the second time that's
come
up.
There have been multiple discussions of Sandra Bullock movies and Julia Roberts movies in this show.
And now we have an official mention of Speed. Last time we
That is
kind of discussed what we thought they might have been alluding to.
I do like how it's so much fun how it's a speed 2 cruise control.
Oh, is that? I didn't even know what cruise. I didn't know what cruise control was. That's a speed. It's
the speed sequel.
Oh, I didn't even know a speed sequel existed.
Keanu Reeves didn't come back. Uh-huh. So they had, what's his name? Jason Patrick was in it. And it's like a runaway boat.
Oh, that sounds
like
terrible.
Like a cruise ship.
Okay.
I've never seen it, but I've seen enough of the commercials to stay away from it.
I didn't even know that was a second. I thought that was like a totally different movie that she was in, and I was like, I don't remember ever hearing of that, which that I guess she was in it, and I'd never heard of it.
How the Speed franchise ended.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. All right. So, yeah, she did have to fight then, I guess, to have that second terrible movie come out.
And I would like to say that Johnny convinces her to stay, but no, she kind of convinces herself
to stay. In talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then we get a great Twyla moment.
Uh-huh.
Who comes up at the end. It turns out the special is cream of mushroom soup, and they don't have any to-go containers, so she just double-bagged it for him and offered him either a spoon or a straw.
I do like to picture him standing outside of the motel.
Drinking cream of mushroom soup out of a straw.
Yeah, into a tiny bag. I love it.
Yeah. It wasn't even a tiny bag. It was big.
No. It was a big bag.
That
was a lot of soup.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that it was a lot, but yeah, that's all they had was
like a shopping bag laying around.
I don't know. Yeah, but that was great.
All right, so now let's go to this ropes course.
Oh, yeah. It just seemed like it was going to be an adventure in the park, but this adventure was a full-out ropes course.
I don't know what... I mean, first of all, who would ever expect this? Mm-hmm. But what did David expect? Like a disc golf tournament?
I don't know.
At like an adventure date.
The way she described it, how did she... She said it was at... What did she say? I forget. Elm Falls Park Tour. Initially in the beginning. So it did not, to me, like that didn't sound like...
No, it sounds like, here's this historic site. What an adventure we're on right now.
Yeah, like that it was just going to be like, let's wander around this park. At least that's what I had noted, unless I misunderstood her in the beginning of the episode.
Those are kind of conflicting descriptions.
She said that Ted had like reserved an Elm Falls Park tour.
Yes.
But it looks like part of the tour is a ropes course, I guess.
Listen, they are geared up like they're climbing a mountain.
Oh, totally.
Helmets.
Yes.
They're
helmets that make you look like a little toadstool man.
Those are weird looking.
HUD man. Yeah.
Yeah. And this, okay. Listen, we spoil our thoughts at the end of the episode. We rank this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is when in my notes I wrote, I don't like this. I don't like anything that's happening. There are people online who talk about how they don't like Alexis because she's annoying.
Uh-huh.
They don't like Ted because he's annoying. My God, they're both so annoying. I could not take it. How they're just encouraging each other overly.
Yeah.
And Ted is referring to, like, David as man or dude or bro or something. I hated this
much. I am wondering...
I know how much she's overdoing it.
Yes, but I was just going to say, like, how much is she overdoing this because she wants everything to look super perfect?
Right.
I do feel, though, like, as we move forward, and I kind of remember that, like, their relationship does get a little bit cheesy, should we say?
Okay.
As, you know, like they... There are very sweet, like, lovely moments. I mean, we know Ted, obviously, is, like...
He's a goofball,
He's goofy, but has a great heart. Like, is always, you know, is so caring and everything.
Right.
And he's such a good person. But, yeah, she has changed, and I do feel like she loses, in this relationship, a lot of her Alexis edge.
Okay. Right.
Which I think eventually we circle back around to that and we see things down the line. But yeah, they are a little bit like, would be out with that call, you'd be like, oh my gosh, they're irritating a little bit.
Because The problem I had is I know what she's doing, but I don't know what he's doing. Like, because she's going, way to go, babe. And he's like, way to go, babe.
And he's like patting her on the bottom and stuff. Like, before she climbs up the tree, she literally moves to let him do it.
And that's where I was like, is this happening when David's not there? Because this whole thing is so weird.
Yeah.
And when she gets up there, how she's waving to David. David, look at me. Look at me up here. I was like, this is baby nonsense. And I hate it. I really do.
Yeah.
I could not stand to watch this.
I think, and I don't think I minded it as much as you did. Uh-huh. But I do, and then I think it was funny because, of course, it's designed to make the two of them look like they're having the time of their lives and this is so much fun. And David is literally so far out of his element and so uncomfortable and so nervous and sullen and angry about this whole situation that he's now in. So he's feeling even more frustrated because he's like, great, like, we're doing this and this is not helping our relationship at all. And I'm miserable and I hate this.
Yes.
And they're having the time of their lives. And it's further cementing that idea to him that he and Patrick are having
problems. Right, exactly. Not only does he have to worry.
So, of course, like, that's, you know, why it's all designed that way.
No, he has to worry about his relationship, and now he has to climb
be
and
be totally
go on a
out of his comfort zone.
Right. So, I understand it, but I just feel
you
like.
You just hated it.
I don't know that you needed Ted to act this way to make that. Anyway, let's move on, because I could continue talking. About that for a while.
Okay.
But let's talk about Moira having a discussion with the director.
Yes.
Because
back to the movie set. She is in her costume now.
Right.
In her Clara Mandrake.
It's so
Clara
great.
Beatrice Mandrake.
I love the little pop. I love the costume that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the giant
the little,
nest
like,
that she gets
black
in.
Black nose.
The,
and
black
stuff.
And nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she really talks to him like she is now, she's kind of a weird mentor at this point. Like, she's been through it. She's hit the possible highest of highs. I don't know what the highest of highs of being in a soap is. But and she's hit the lows. And she talked about, you know, in the past how many seasons of that show she was on. And she's really trying to encourage this guy by saying you have to make the most of every opportunity.
Right. That she also mentions in this section, I believe I understood it correctly, that he was cut loose from that blockbuster.
Yes.
Which I know we were talking about before. He was like, I just did a $50 million blockbuster, which he didn't really do that, right? Like, he was cut loose from
it. No, I'm assuming that he did, and then I guess they were going to make a sequel. The way I looked at it
I thought it was like he was bragging, like, I just did this, and this was so great. And then she researched, and she's like, actually, you didn't do that. You were cut loose. So I
because I
interpreted it differently.
I'm going to take it in the vein of he's directing one of these Marvel movies or something like that. And that one did very poorly, so they didn't bring him back for another one. But you could be more right than I am.
Well, can I then make a confession about this?
Sure.
Well, you just shared all your thoughts about the Ted Alexis
thing. Right.
As much as you disliked that, I disliked all this. And this scene was painful for me to watch.
Okay.
And I tuned out because I appreciate the comedy and ridiculousness of Moira. Like, at the end, it is fun to watch her, like, just be this crazy crow doctor weirdo character.
Yes.
I hate all the croning stuff. I hate it. Yeah. I don't want to watch it. It's not interesting to me. I could care less with what happens with this producer. This scene, I did not enjoy, and I could be totally wrong on that because I literally didn't want to write notes about it.
Hey, listen, I heard the audible groan when I told you what episode this was going to be yesterday.
And you know, I love when Moira is like in her glory, great things happen. And I don't, and I know this is supposed to be in her glory, but I don't know. I don't enjoy it at all.
I
don't like this movie. I don't like the whole idea of it.
I get it. My reaction to what you just said is much like your reaction to my roping in that
ropes course issue
is that I don't hate this.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it though. I really don't. Like, I like once she has already made the movie, yes. I'm more on board with the idea of this ridiculous crow movie than her actually being there. Because for as much as I've said in the past, I like it when they leave the motel. I like it when they go places. Mm-hmm. I don't need them flying halfway around the world and us moving to a different country, a different continent for this. Because I'd much rather have her film more Burt Ertlinger commercials than this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I sort of just love her finding her element in Schitt's Creek.
No. Right.
That's when I love Moira most.
Yes.
And I don't know. Do I not appreciate her acting skills? I don't know what it is. I just don't. This whole thing with this, anytime she was talking to the producer, anytime she was on set, I was like, I don't want to write anything down. I hope Paul's taking good notes. Because that's how I felt.
And that's okay. I just, I agree. I understand. I have a feeling this episode's going to be very low for both of us in the end. But anyway, the main thing with this is she has now doctored this script. She has rewritten lines. She's done a lot.
She's given her revisions. Yeah. I do love when she says, if you need me, I'll be running lines in my nest. Right. Which that was so funny and cute.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely little glimpses of things that I love. But like most of this is just, I can't watch it. I don't enjoy it.
It is, again, to Dan Levy's credit, I think it's one of those things where it's like, this is all written very well in that what they're saying, there's a lot of very funny lines.
Yeah.
It's just where they are and what they're doing, I am not on board with for most of this. But anyway.
I'm sure there are people out there that feel totally different that love, you know, this whole, the comedy behind this whole thing and like just how funny it is. And, but I don't know. It just doesn't speak to me. I like seeing her in her element and in Schitt's Creek, I think.
I hope everybody left us those good reviews at the start of the show.
Right? Sorry.
And they're not waiting.
Like we've done other things. I diss Patrick a lot and people are still sticking by us. But
basically she gives him her rewrites to take a look at. He's still not on board or really isn't buying into what she's saying at this point. So now let's go back to the motel lobby.
Yep.
Because Johnny mentions that
he needs some rocket fuel.
He needs to drink this coffee. Disgusting coffee because he has been reorganizing the shed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how Stevie's like, the shed. Almost like you went into that place.
Well, and it was like that wasn't on the to-do list till next week.
Right.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's really a go-getter, Johnny is.
Yeah.
When he has nothing else to distract him. It is funny how he says, normally at this time, Moira and I would have been making dinner plans. And I was like, what are you planning?
Well,
there's one eatery in town that you're always at.
But they would be together and they'd be like, I guess it's time to head over to have dinner together. But they'd be dining together and they would have,
I know. I read it as a funny line because he said that. Because I'm just like, well, it would take you a while to peruse the menu, especially if it's online. But no, he is...
Yeah, he's just looking for something. It's an adjustment. Right, I'm exhausted. He basically has kept himself busy every second of the day so as to not miss Moira.
And like we said before, 8 days apart.
Yeah, it's the longest for them not seeing each other.
In 40, is it 40 years?
40 years.
40 years of marriage.
Let's be honest, though.
Sure.
Have we been apart more than 8 days? Probably not.
No, probably not.
Like, I've done, like, vacations and stuff, maybe without you, for a week.
All right, so you're saying we're one day away.
We're one day away from that.
These are goals that we should be shooting for.
Next time I'll make sure I have an 8-day vacation
We beat Johnny and Moira.
I mean, probably for most couples, a week away maybe is about, and sometimes people obviously travel for work and things like that, which you said seems like that this should not be that unusual for them.
Yeah, but I'm sure I'm wrong too, because if you have the massive amount of wealth that we are to believe they had, and you have your own private jet, you could fly back.
Right. You're jetting someplace together. I'll just come along with you and make myself busy during the day. And then, so
So you're right. Yeah, that does seem more realistic than than I was thinking.
Yeah, so. I'm sure they, you know, yeah. like he said, they probably are right. together very often.
And I like this, too, because it's not as though Stevie can solve his problem. But it's not as though she can, or he can
really
solve
cute.
His own problem.
She just listens.
Oh, no. Right.
Not right. really like she wants to, though. It's a little bit,
what's well,
regretfully.
It's Stevie. yeah. Yes, it's certainly Stevie. Yeah. But yeah, she does just listen because yeah. there is no solution.
Yeah.
It's just he kind of has to deal with this. He yeah. has to make his way through a problem that he's never had to deal with before.
Right. And she kind of just reassures him, like, it's okay to miss your wife.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to be crazy and, yeah. you know.
No,
yeah.
definitely. Yeah. And he doesn't even have the kids around to sort of, like, with right. their business ventures mm-hmm. and relationships and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Busy.
It's not even like, because the episode could have been about him just bothering them mm-hmm. the whole time. Possibly a better episode. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But they didn't do that.
But like, we got a little bit of Roland comedy.
That's what
there,
I mean. We got
nice.
Roland, we got Stevie,
yeah.
which is just fine
yeah.
to put them in here and to throw everybody else on a ropes course.
Right.
So let's go to the ropes
yeah.
course. Because David's now stuck.
In the middle.
In the middle of what I love the reveal of it's the first course, which is really great. How
yeah, it's low.
How
things
even
get
Ted's
higher
like,
as you
hey,
go
this
on.
Is the,
yeah.
this is the first of seven. I'm sure
right.
it'll be great on the last six.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah but he's
Have you
stuck
done a ropes
there.
Course before like this?
Only when I was in sixth grade
okay.
and they took us to the Poconos to do a thing as a class.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
No, it's fun, but like when you do get up on some of those things, like I
oh,
remember
no.
doing things and I'm like, oh man, this is really high. But as an adult,
I did something that I could
and,
do this as well as I did when I was a kid.
Oh, really? I yeah. felt like when I did stuff as an adult, I
oh,
was like all
better.
In. Like, I was like, all right, I'll climb this wall the whole way to the top. like, yep, I'm on it. I'll scale this. Like,
wow. Okay.
And it was okay. It felt okay. I feel like I was more nervous about certain huh. things as a, kid than I was when
right.
I did it as did some things as an adult.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've always been bad with heights,
mm-hmm.
but I think as I get older, I'm worse.
Yeah.
With heights
no, definitely. I agree with that.
I was,
like
so.
Things that I maybe could have done. Not who knows. Maybe I'd get on it now and be like, not
right.
into this, you know, but a couple years ago when I did something, it was like, okay, I'm good
okay.
to go.
All right. I do, again, there are some funny lines
yeah.
here where
mm-hmm.
they talk about what David is actually afraid of.
Moths and butterflies. yeah, because they said, oh, I didn't know he was afraid of heights. And then Alexis is like, no, he's only afraid of moths and butterflies and businesswomen with sneakers.
Right. Okay. That was the other
yeah.
thing. Okay. Because I was frantically typing and I heard businesswomen, but I missed
yeah.
what it was.
I think
That's
it was with sneakers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Alexis kind of realizes like, oh God, he is afraid of heights from
yes.
the time he was parasailing with Anderson Cooper. And it was like a breakup moment.
yes.
And they were stuck up there, I guess, together.
Yeah.
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 So then she kind of realizes like, oh my God, I should not have made him do this.
No, she realizes that this is entirely her fault.
Right. And then in her guilt.
Right. She confesses to the fact that that the quiz is rigged.
So no matter what, everybody needs a generator. And she was lying
right. yes.
about the score that she had gotten.
But I like the fact that she apparently figured out that it's rigged by taking it a multitude of
mm-hmm.
times. And I guess just trying
different combinations,
different answers each time
yeah.
to realize that you can't do well at this quiz.
Right.
It's totally rigged. When she said it's rigged, I was like, how did she rig this quiz? Like, I thought she rigged the
no.
quiz for him
yeah,
somehow.
No.
But no,
nope.
it's just, listen, it's rigged as I'm assuming most Cosmo quizzes are.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
I haven't taken a Cosmo quiz in a long time.
Yeah. So he kind of then, with this realization.
Well,
Patrick
sort of starts to realize too, like, oh, this is why we're doing this
right,
because
yes.
of some dumb quiz and you
yeah.
were lying and you were lying to me
yep.
and all this is happening.
We
and
shut down the store.
Right. Yeah.
it's a whole thing. But I love how in all of this, I don't know if it's his anger at Alexis for rigging or not rigging this quiz, but for not letting him know or lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of gets distracted enough by all of this
that he does
the
tree walk
the course.
Yeah,
yes.
to get to Patrick.
Right.
Yep.
Yes, because...
So he does it in the end.
Right. Confesses his actual love, his true love for Patrick.
Right.
Which we've seen them do this multiple times each. I'm not saying that we don't need to keep seeing it, but that's sort of...
Oh, I thought I was okay with it. Okay. Yeah, I was fine with that.
But again, this is then where Ted's like, great, one of seven. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling David and Patrick maybe bagged it after that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they were able to make it back to the store for, you know, the final wave of customers after they get out of work or whatever. So now we go back to Moira.
Yes. In her nest.
Performing.
Oh, yeah. Looking fun. Like, this is the best part of this whole thing, is this ending.
Oh, no, definitely.
You know, part where they're actually filming.
The line of quiet your cause. So we can take up our cause is really funny.
Uh-huh.
I like it a lot. Yeah. And the director interrupts to basically say, hey, you're doing a great job. I'm on board now. And she's like, well, great. Why did you stop me? And he has to say that there are CG birds flying around. And I love how she's like, well, how many? Where's my eye line? And stuff like that. And then we get to see... The camera swings around behind the camera
to
show the mountain and the backdrop and all of these digital birds flying around as she's yelling. And then hard cut to credits. It is a strange way to end this episode.
Yeah.
Strange way to end an episode.
Well, I guess because
strange.
We know that, you know, it looked like this whole project was going to explode, you know, listen, like self-destruct.
Right. I mean,
and it didn't. Like, now we can see, like, oh, he's on board. It's working for him. And they're moving forward with this
production. And again, it's not, I understand the Johnny thread is, I guess, over. The relationship thread is over. And this is the solution. It's not like I need to go back to the motel and see David throw the magazine in the trash or something like that. But I always find it very strange when we do not end this at the motel.
Oh,
or we
right.
do not end it with multiple main characters together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're doing that less and less. And I'm not saying that was a huge problem with this, but it was noticeable.
Yeah.
So, well... That's it. That's the episode.
Yeah.
We've ended.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So if this episode were a job at the Rosebud Motel, would you jump to do it yourself or would you just pass it off to Roland?
Oh, I think I'd pass it off to
Roland. Okay. All right. Well, let me...
Although motel stuff was fine. I was totally okay with the motel stuff.
I'm not...
Like the Johnny story was okay. Right. The Alexis and Ted and David and Patrick, I enjoyed. It certainly did not bother me as much as it bothered you. I'll be honest, I was not into the conversations and things with the director.
I will scroll down to the bottom portion of your list then, and you can let me know where this falls.
Yeah, like even the stuff at the end I was okay with.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the very end, I thought, okay, this is funny, like watching her in the nest and everything.
Sure.
Like that part I liked. I just could not get into any of the conversation with the director at all. I'm going to say I'm going to put it as my new... Oh, my gosh. I feel bad putting things low.
You don't. We have to be honest.
I'm going to put it as my new number 43. It just didn't, like, resonate with me. That's
right
all.
Underneath Sebastian Rain.
Yeah.
And right above Bob's Bagels. And if people are interested, I put our... rankings up on our social media things, and Bob's Bagels is one of the ones where we are the furthest apart.
Uh-huh.
I think Bob's Bagels is it might be in my top 10.
Wow.
And it's one of your least favorite
episodes.
Well,
and also I know people were like surprised at how low I rated Merry Christmas Johnny Rose. Like that was another one I know a lot of people. That one again, it just didn't like resonate with me.
Well,
that much.
If you're apologizing for 43, I'm going to apologize for 46.
Oh wow.
Cuz this is it's all the reasons I talked about. And again, I didn't dislike the croning stuff as much as you did. But I'm not on, I just wasn't on board. And it seems like, I think what makes it more disappointing, if this was the eighth episode of the season, I don't know that I'd put it that low, but this is such a strange way to kick off a new season.
Yeah, to open a season.
I'm kind of scared. The way you talk about Alexis and Ted's relationship, I don't rewatch this the way you have or did. I don't remember disliking their relationship, and just this whole thing makes me afraid for what.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see.
Yeah, we will definitely find out
as we talk more about season 5,
yeah,
and
definitely.
Then of course as we finish up and with season 6.
No, but those are our rankings.
So yeah, we'll see.
Let us know how wrong we are. If you really like this episode, that's great.
Yeah,
let us
and again,
know.
I think it's hard. There's nothing that, like, that's a small moment
in a
series that we didn't like,
No.
And it's hard to say, like, oh, I hated that, because I don't think we ever hate anything.
No.
There is just things that we don't prefer as much
as but I also don't,
some other
like,
things.
We brought this on ourselves.
Right.
Like, there's going to be an episode at the bottom of the list at the
of
end.
Course.
So I don't
Right, and that's why I'm
bad.
Saying,
like
it's
apologize.
A small moment.
Right.
You know.
I don't feel like we need to apologize for where we put things.
No.
So.
No, I know. And I'm not really apologizing, but, you know, it's like, it's not easy to, you know.
No, I get it.
Look at our rankings.
Thank you again for listening, everybody. We appreciate you guys.
We hope
all the
you
time.
Maybe come back next week.
Yeah, and come back.
Or
no,
two weeks from now. Sorry, not next week. We can't handle that
right.
in our lives.
Because 2 weeks from now, we will be listening. No. You will be listening.
Yeah.
We
kind of listen too, but occasionally we look up.
We will be talking about the second episode of season 5, Love Letters. So
yep.
Thank you again, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you then.
Warmest regards.